Let's start out with a statement. One of the toughest things about witnessing is trying to show people something that they currently can't see. How easy would it be to witness to someone about the Lord and Messiah Yeshua if you can point and say, look, here it is. Here he is. Here's what he's doing. Here. Now, we can point to see what he's doing. But, you know, how much easier is it to say, you know, I can show you, here's the President of the United States. I can show you pictures of him. I can show you what he's doing. You can hear him speaking. It's easy to point out, and people believe that there's a President of the United States. It's harder to show him the Lord. It's harder to show him Messiah, because they can't see. We believe, because we've seen it. We see it in the Old Covenant. We see it in the New Covenant. We see it in our lives and through the Ruach HaKodesh. That's how we can see it. Our faith proves to us that there's an Adonai and a Ruach and Yeshua. That's how we can see it. But those who don't have faith yet, they have this spiritual veil over their eyes. Another way of saying is they have blinders on their eyes. Now, blinders, I don't know how many of you know horses. Blinders don't actually blind a horse. It doesn't cover their eyes. What it does is it focuses the horse. It keeps them from looking side to side, so they only can see what's absolutely right there in front of them. That's the job of a blinder. Only right there in front of them. And that's the problem that our people have. They have these spiritual blinders. They can only see what is right there in front of them. So if they're not on a path walking right directly to Messiah or Adonai, they don't see him. They can just be a little bit off, but their blinder stops them from seeing. That's the problem of having blinders. They can't see around the corner. The fact is, we're all created by Adonai, whether you're a believer or not. That means we're all under the same blessings and curses that God communicated in his word. We heard that a little bit in our Torah portion. We're all under the covenant. But those who do not believe, obviously, don't believe that either. They say, how can I be under a covenant? God's never spoke to me. How can I be under a covenant? I've never even spoken to God. Never heard of this covenant. What are you talking about? You know, it makes it tough. They could even say, well, why can't I make my own deal with God? Right? How much easier is that? I'll just talk to him. Okay, you want me to talk to God? I'll talk to him, and I'll make my own deal. I don't need to read it in your book. I'll make my own deal. Well, the problem is they've never talked to God. The problem is they don't know that they're already in covenant with Adonai. And today's Torah portion shows us why they're already in a covenant with Adonai. So let's start in Deuteronomy 29:12 in the Hebrew scriptures, 29:13 otherwise. And it says, this is in order to confirm you today as his people. So he will be your God, just as he promised you, and just as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. not with you alone am I cutting this covenant and this oath, but with whomever is standing here with us today before Adonai our God, and with whoever is not here with us today. So based on the words, not with you alone, but whomever is not with us here today. So who does that include, not with us here today? Well, it means all of mankind. It obviously didn't mean the Israelites who were out of town, because the word says they were all gathered together. So it wasn't Israelites who were just too far away, out of town. But it means everybody. And God is a God of eternity. And his words are words of that are eternal. So he says, you, meaning not just those who are in front of him, not just those who are too far away to hear his words right there as Moses was speaking them, but he's talking to all eternity. Based on the words spoken by Moses just a few verses later, we see that everybody is held to the standard, not just those who accept. And when they fall short of those standards, there's a consequence. And there's a punishment for idolatry when you fall short of that. So Deuteronomy 29:18-19, 19 and 20, we'll get through this chapter with all these extra numbers, says, now when someone hears the words of this oath, and in his heart considers himself blessed, thinking, shalom will be mine, even though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, thus sweeping away the moist with the dry, Adonai will be unwilling to forgive him. For then the anger of Adonai and his jealousy will smoke against that person. So all the oath that is written in the scroll will settle on him, and Adonai will blot out his name from under the heavens. It's a strange couple of words in there. The moist and the dry. It's a strange phrase to me. But what it means is, he treats everybody the same way. Those who know and those who don't. He is a loving God. And he does treat everybody the same way. And that's what a lot of the world is banking on today. God treats us all the same. If I'm a good person, he'll be good to me. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that within my own family. Don't worry, I'm a good person. What'll happen, Ma? I'm a good person. Therefore, you know, God'll be good to me too. He treats everybody the same. Yes. But you got just a little bit of a problem in that thought process there. He judges everybody the same. He judges everybody by the same standard. Now, children expect to be treated the same as well. I don't know how many of you have multiple kids, or maybe you've been in a classroom. They see something happen to one child, and they believe they're going to be treated the same way. And it makes sense, right? We see things and we want to be treated the same way. Everyone should be treated the same way. That's just fair. How many times have you heard a kid say, that's not fair. John got it and I didn't. What they don't understand is something was a little different between you and little Johnny. He got it, you didn't. There was a difference. Well, the world cries out, that's just not fair. Why would you be saved and not me? I'm just as good of a person as you are. And here's the truth. They could be just as good as a person as I am. They could be better than I am, and I bet you most of them are, because I'm still growing and learning. But God treats everybody the same way with the same standard. Now here's the good news. His love endures forever, but his anger does not. How many times have you read, his love endures forever? How many times have you read, his anger endures forever? It's not in Scripture. He will be angry for quite some time at times, but not forever. So we have a promise, and his promise will not be forsaken, and that we will not be forsaken, and even the lost will not be forsaken. And there is a path for blessing. Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 4 says, "Now when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse that I have set before you, and you take them to heart in all the nations where Adonai your God has banished you," notice, he has banished you. It says that he has, because you were already disobedient. But here's the next part. "And you return to Adonai your God and listen to his voice according to all that I'm commanding you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, then Adonai your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you. And he will return and gather you from all the peoples where Adonai your God has scattered you. Even if your outcasts are at the ends of the heavens, from there Adonai your God will gather you. From there he will bring you." The word and the promise from Adonai is for eternity. So no matter how far away from creation man gets, no matter how far away from the covenant when he gave it in Sinai, Mount Sinai, no matter how far away, years away we are from it, his word still stands forever. His word still stands. His word is still true. There's no expiration date on his promise. Well, maybe one. Maybe one. Once he returns, that's it. Once Messiah Yeshua comes back, that's it. He's coming back as a judge. He's already come back as a savior. And he's already told us he's not going to do that again. His love as a savior is still alive today. But when he comes back, and he will be coming back, he'll be coming back as a judge. When he comes back, and he is coming back, then it's too late. Then the expiration date has flipped. In the New Covenant, we're told of the story of the virgins who half of them ran out of oil before he came, went off and came back, and the party started. They were locked out, banging on the door, "But Lord, Lord, we knew you." And he says, "No, I don't know you. You were not ready when I came back." That's the expiration date. That's why we need to be ready now. That's why you can't put off the decision to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and all your mind. That's why you accept Messiah Yeshua now. Because there will be a time, if you keep waiting, that it's going to be too late. One or two things. If you keep waiting, you're going to die. Too late. He's going to come back. Too late. You need to make the decision when the decision's available to you. Now, today is the time the decision's available to you. And the promise was made for all eternity. Now, how do we know that the promise is made for all eternity? Deuteronomy 30:19 tells us, gives us our hint that this promise is for all eternity. He says, I call the heavens and the earth to witness about you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. The witnesses that he called were not Moses. It wasn't King David. It wasn't the apostles that walked with him. It was heaven and earth, because that was the only thing that was going to be around right up until the end time. They're going to be, heaven and earth are going to be until his return. He made the promise in front of witnesses that never would leave and could always testify to him. And these promises, they're hard for people to see and understand when they have limited vision due to blinders or veils. It causes their eyes not to see, and it causes their mind not to understand. But the scriptures are there to help them see more clearly. John 20 tells us that was the purpose of scripture. John 20, verse 30. Yeshua performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these things have been written so that you may believe that Yeshua is Mashiach ben Elohim, and that by believing you may have life in his name. First of all, not everything was written in the book. Wow. They only took the hits. The best of the best? I don't know. How do you decide which miracle is the best of the miracles? You can't. Which parables are the best? I bet they're all great. I'd want to hear every single word Messiah has ever spoken. But they're not all written in the book. But the purpose of the book is so that we would know. The purpose of the book is so that those who were not standing before Moses when the covenant was given would be, so that we could understand it today. Both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant were written for a purpose of giving sight to those who can't see clearly. We can only see the evidence available to all men. No longer do we have the physical manifestation of Messiah walking the earth. But we have his words. We have his words, which are strong and enduring. John 20:29 says, Yeshua said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are the ones who have not seen and yet have believed. It speaks to us. It speaks to those who do not believe yet. Have we seen Messiah walking the earth? No. He was only on the earth. Imagine this. He was only on the earth for 33 years, and he was only in full-time ministry for 3 of those years. Yet what a difference those years made. Years later, Peter, the emissary to the Jewish people, spoke. In 1 Peter 1:8, it says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you trust him and are filled with joy that is glorious beyond words, receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You haven't seen him, but you believe him. You haven't seen him, but you have the joy. I pray that's what we all feel now that we understand. And for those who don't yet understand, that's what's waiting for you. Because it's eternal. His word is eternal. Yeshua warned that men want to see a sign. They want to see a sign before they believe. And that's just natural for men. How many times have you spoken to someone about anything and they say, "Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it." I think people still say that about me. I have this thick layer of mistrust. It comes from being in New York. I don't know. That's what they tell me. But I have to see it myself to believe it. It's why I came to faith, is because I saw it myself. He came and spoke to me in a dream. I saw it. I believe it. I know it. And that was it. But there's the words. Now we need to tell people what we've seen, what we know, and what the word says, because the word was written so they would see and they would know. When God spoke these words, they're words of eternity, speaking to man for all eternity. Just as the words to Adam and Eve were for all men for all eternity, although our Jewish brethren don't want to believe this. Genesis 22, God blessed... where am I here? Genesis 22, God blessed... Okay, I see where I'm going. All right. In Genesis 22, God blesses Abraham and says that all of his offspring will be blessed. Well, that included every one of God's people all the way through all the generations, all the way through now, and if God tarries, for the next generation and the next one until he returns. His word is eternal. You can't say that too often. His word is eternal. His desire, he says, is that none would die. Now, obviously, people die in the physical. So when he says none will die, we either do one of two things. We either write it off. Well, he said none will die, and everyone dies, and we write it off. Or we look to see how it's true. None would die in the spiritual. In the time to come, his desire is none would die. His desire is that none would be separated from him for all eternity, because that is what true death is. Death is not the ceasing of your heart. Death is the separation from the one who created you for all eternity. That's death. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through trusting in Messiah Yeshua. For all of you who were immersed in Messiah have clothed yourself with Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are alone, or you are one, you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you belong to Messiah, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. We are all covered by the covenant, but only if you have faith in the Torah and faith in the Messiah that the Torah pointed to, points to. We're all covered and we're all one. But what does that mean? That we're all the same? That there's no Jew and no Gentile, some would say. Doesn't that mean we're all one man and there's just one? There's no Jewish, there's no Gentile, there's no male. Well, wait a second. That doesn't make sense. Because he lumped a couple of things in there. There's no Jew or Gentile, no Jew or Greek, Jew or Gentile. And we can understand that. We say, yeah, that means one man, we're all together. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. But he lumps it together with male or female. Well, there are male and female. And he lumps it together with free and slave. But there were free and slave. And quite frankly, when I was working in my secular job, I still felt like a slave. So there was still free and slave. So does it mean that he really means that he's lumping everybody together? So there's no Jew and no Gentile, we're all one man? Well, yes and no. Yes, we're all one man in that we get judged by the same standard. But no, the Jews still have their job and the nations still have their job. If it wasn't the case, then we can't say that there's male and female anymore. If it wasn't the case, then we better start drawing a line down the center of the synagogue here. Men, move on to this side. Women, move on to this side. But that's not what we do because that's not God's word. Galatians is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. We're all children of Abraham if we have faith. And if we're all children of Abraham, then we're also all children of Noah. And if we're all children of Noah, then we're all children of Adam. And if we're all children of Adam, then we're all covered by the words that were spoken to Adam and Eve. What were the words spoken to Adam and Eve? Well, they were cursed because of disbelief. Because it's what it came down to, disbelief. They didn't honor God by following his word. So in Genesis 3, after they've taken a bite of the fruit that they weren't supposed to, God says to the woman, you'll bear children in pain and have a desire for your husband. Women, was there pain during the childbirth? Yeah, I may not have felt it, but I know you guys, you ladies did. And to the man, that there would be painful toil in order to eat. Guys, do you feel the painful toil when you go out to make the money so that your family can eat? Yep, I felt it. And they were all expelled from the garden due to the sin. These three things affected all of people for all of time. Therefore, we have to accept that the sin of Adam and Eve affected all people. That's what the purpose of all the words in Scripture is for, to get us past that, to get us back into the garden with the Lord. Do I believe that there's going to be a big garden on earth that everyone's going to come to? No, the garden is in heaven. That's the garden. Just like death is the eternal death, separation from the Lord, the garden is the eternal unity with the Lord, being together. So as we come closer to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, It's a time we celebrate the kingship of Adonai and look inward to try to better ourselves. And our brethren, our Jewish brothers and sisters, are also looking for that salvation. They'll be looking to make sure that their names are written in the book of life. But they're looking with blinders on. Adonai's already made the way. But they're trying to do it their own way. They've taken parts of truths here and there, and they've tried to fit them together. And they said, aha, here's how we'll get before Adonai forever. But that's not his way. His way is in Scripture, and his way is eternal. They're trying to do it through good deeds, prayer, and charity. On this day, let's look into Torah and find the true way. Torah tells us what Adonai's way is. It's always been through the blood. It's always been cleansed by the blood. And the difference is that the blood is now Messiah Yeshua's blood and not the blood of bulls and goats, rams and sheep, doves. That's the difference. Numbers 23:19 asks the question for all men to answer. God is not a man who lies or a son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and then not do it, or promise and not fulfill? Well, we know the answer is God is not a man who lies. He does not speak and then not have it fulfilled. Just the very fact that he speaks it fulfills it. He says it, and that makes it true. We may not see it right away, but it's still going to make it true. He's an eternal God. Just have patience. That's what it comes down to. Just have patience. But while you're having patience, prepare. Prepare. Don't wait to see how close to the expiration date you can come. Prepare now by accepting the words of Torah and the Messiah that it points to. He's eternal. His love is eternal. And his word is eternal. But we have to do it now. We can't wait. We can't wait to the end of eternity and then think we can turn a switch. It's not the way it works. Father, we thank you that your love is eternal. We thank you that all your promises are yes and amen. We ask now, we join together now, and we ask, we pray, and we plead that during these high holidays, and especially during the days of awe, that you help our Jewish brothers and sisters see. Remove the blinders and the veil from their eyes and give us words to speak. Remove the blinders and veils and let them look intently into the Torah and nothing but the Torah that will show them who you are and what your plan has always been. We thank you for the words that were always meant to be saving words, words that bring people back into your presence for all eternity. We love you, and we thank you for your mercy and grace. Amen.